know I usually open up with a joke. I do want to like open up with something honest here for once, you know. I am gay.
I'm not, I mean, I could act surprised, but I'm almost not.
But only for pay.
So you're a juggler, a
A
gigolo.
juggler?
A gigolo. Is
I
that what it's
juggle
called?
a
Gigolo
lot
or
of naked
juggler?
men. I think a gigolo is just like
Gigolo.
a prostitute in general. I don't think
Oh,
it's
okay.
exclusive
I
to.
thought that was like a male prostitute, is a
Maybe,
gigolo.
maybe. Don't hold me to that. I'm not sure. I'm still very new to this, obviously. I haven't done enough research. But yeah, I am now a male escort. And there's any viewers out there interested? There's probably a lot of people listening to this who don't know what we look like, but I'm an attractive man. Got a haircut recently.
Yeah, pretty generic looking guy.
Thanks,
I'm
yeah.
joking.
Got a medium build, got a
Yeah.
bit of muscles, but not enough that like it's intimidating.
He's just had a haircut,
Fun time,
so
yes.
yeah.
As previously mentioned,
Pretty good
yeah.
facial hair, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, if you
That's
want,
where you've always beat me.
the facial
Facial
hair,
hair. Because
only place I've
used to
beaten
always
you.
say we look similar, which I don't get.
Yeah.
I know we have
Similar
similar
hair and eyes and
features and
stuff.
we're the same
Yeah.
height, but people have genuinely mistaken us for like siblings.
Brothers, yeah,
Yeah.
that's the thing that's happened. I don't think we ever spoke about that in the podcast.
Yeah.
Me and Sebastian used to live together. People would literally hear our voices as we'd be talking to them. So they would hear that Sebastian's English and I'm not English, and they would go, "Are you two brothers?" I'm like, what? That's
Which
happened
I
more than
didn't think we
once.
looked that similar,
No, it's
but
mental.
so we've always had debates on like who has better the certain features and stuff.
I don't think we've had these debates at all. What are you talking about?
And
That sounds like a horrible
I can
conversation.
admit Dylan has better facial hair and he
Thanks.
has a better accent. They're everything else,
Everything else.
but
I only have it in the very minor departments. I guess voice isn't that minor,
yeah, he definitely has a minor department, all right. That's
but
where I'm beating
that's gonna be the title of my first stand-up special. Anyhow, if anyone is interested, just give me a call on Dilly Willy.
Dilly Willy
Yes.
at willy.com.
Willy.com. You can look at various different mail escorts on that site, but
Gone to willy.com. We've just promoted a porn
maybe, I
website,
don't know. I'm sure if you look up Willy.com now, you'll get horrible
Yeah,
results.
don't do that.
Let us know. I'm not, I think they should. Let us know. I'm not going to do it. Anyhow, I just want to open up something really sincere for once. Welcome to Dylan Sebastian Evan Simpson's podcast. The podcast myself and Sebastian here do because we're too shy to make a vlog.
Yeah. Although I'm
Yeah.
wondering if we should record one of these at one point, like.
I'd love to. I'd love that to be something we start doing eventually. I think it'd
Yeah.
be nicer to do if we had like, if we eventually had the finance to have like a nicer studio or something, like a
Yeah.
nice space for recordings. And it'd be class to have like something with like Simpsons posters in the background, even framed
That'd be cool.
photos or something. It'd be so cool. Yeah, all something for the future, definitely. It'd be fun. It'd be very fun. I think it's crazy how much I know a lot of people who don't listen to podcasts. They only watch them on like YouTube and stuff, you
Yeah.
know?
To be honest, I could never just sit through a whole like Joe Rogan.
No,
Like
I
3 hours of just watching them
yeah,
talk.
for me those things are a commute
For the
while on the run.
highlights, it's okay.
Oh, totally, yeah, when you get like the 5 minute clips of like a certain topic, absolutely. But I know people who will only watch it at home in the evenings on YouTube. But
To
yeah, there's a
think
market for it, it's cool.
someone's full-time job
It's to
is to
edit that
just sit
down.
there and do the visual mixing whilst they record that. So
That's so
just
true.
flick through the people.
That's so true. If your job is in the tech department for a podcast, that is such an easy job.
Yeah.
Especially for like ones like Joe Rogan
That's
where
quite
they
interesting.
Yeah. Especially for
Must
ones
be
like
fun.
Joe Rogan where they clearly don't edit it.
Yeah.
It's clearly just the whole conversation raw. Because you'll even see bits where they go like, what was I talking about? Like something easy could have been edited out and
Yeah.
they keep it there, like so they're literally just clicking in the sounds, maybe turning things up and down if someone's voice is a little louder and a little lower than the others, and that's it. Episode ready to go. Mental. But anyhow, well, today we are reviewing My Life as a Vlog, the 12th episode of the 34th season. And let's just jump in. We immediately jump into the episode, and it's a very different approach. I really enjoyed it. It's like the point of view of somebody on a computer. It's all whole episode takes place like you're somebody finding out about the Simpsons family on the internet, basically. Somebody's grunting at their 537 unread emails, which is relatable. And this ignores and clicks into YouTube instead. He gets a bunch of video suggestions. A bunch of these popped up over the episode. I'll cover a few of them, but I couldn't it was impossible to cover all of them because there's just so much detail within this episode, very impressively. But I'll cover as many as I can. Some of the video recommendations he gets there: a hero cat fails package thief, or a foils package thief, a World War II top 10 Easter eggs. One of the Easter eggs, clearly, that Batman was one of the people in the army tank, and our brand new house by the Simpsons Family Channel. So we click into the video. We see the family was given a new house by coins there, and Homer invites them in, but take your shoes off first. He's like, "Oh, 50 million of you," and Marge is like, "We can't tell you where we're located because we value our privacy." Homer's like,
which you know if you watched our last family therapy sesh where Marge begged me to stop filming our therapy sessions. Video link in bio.
It's really like a reference to a parody of a lot of these huge YouTube channels. They are like these families, you know, showing their whole lives basically, and their kids and everything else. I mean, I've never been to any of them, but there is a huge market for it on YouTube. There's been so many, which is what this is a parody of, obviously. That, you know, you watch their videos and they seem like a picture-perfect family, and then shit starts coming out about them. Like, I can't remember the name of the channel, but there was one big one where, you know, it was like this. They were husband and wife with, like, a few kids, and they looked so happy and so innocent. And it came out that, like, the husband was going on a website called, I think it was Ashley Madison, which is a website people go on to, like, for cheating spouses looking to cheat on their wife or husband, basically. That came out, and they put up a video together, the wife and the husband being like, "Oh, I'm so disappointed in him, but we're going to work through this and everything." But their subscribers went way down after that.
See, I find a lot of them messed up because it just feels like they're exploiting their children.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And just showing their whole lives. Like, where's the privacy here? You're showing such the most personal, intimate thing you could be showing in your life, and you're chronicling all of it. Mary shows them the kitchen. She says it's the heart of the home. And also, she loves it because the robot cleans it. And Homer loves their hidden fridge because it gets rid of the tedium of seeing your fridge. Bart and Lisa are running on the house. We see like loads of great paintings around. There's like a Duff can painting and an Andy Warhol painting of Maggie, like the Marilyn Monroe painting, but it's of Maggie. I thought that was great. They go to the screening room. You see they have a huge screen and giant couches. I love they are giant versions of the couch that they have, you know, in the sitting room. It's also where they tape their confessions. We see a couple of confessions. Lisa's saying that it's cool that Dad doesn't work at 9 to 5 anymore. We just have to post 50 videos a day. Bart says that after homeschooling, they do fun kid stuff like doing Zoom calls with their fans in Dubai, giving Lamborghinis to the homeless, or record cameos till their voices give out. The guy then clicks out and looks up Simpson Family Who, is the guy on the computer. He finds a comic book guy video called Game of Doze, recapping the Simpsons family vlog. They did very clever ways of like giving us exposition and feeding us what's actually going on in this episode. And then another suggestion pops up down below. It just says OJ Simpson's funniest moments, and the YouTuber is called Juice Lover. He tells the video that started it all, the big Simpsons family craze, was called Cute Baby Stage Fright. It's basically a video of Homer calming down Maggie as she performs on stage, getting her to follow his moves. She then goes for him. She falls down, Homer saves her, and the other babies go for Homer, and he saves all of them. They all throw up at him. Homer's like, just looks adorable in the video. It actually was really sweet, like him getting Maggie to calm down and lose her stage fright. And Copper Guy just goes, best origin story ever. He says it got 20 million views, and Homer launched a vlog channel focusing on him and Maggie. He's got like a montage of different videos. One is him blow drying her hair, and he suctions her hair with a Hoover to make the little spikes. He gets Maggie and Minnie Castle and urges them to enter the code or to get a 15% discount from toyweasel.com. Oh yeah, we find out that the whole family blew up on YouTube when they uploaded a video called 10-year-old drugged out after oral surgery during family car sing-along. And it's basically Bart clearly has gotten his wisdom teeth removed, and they're all singing Everybody Now by the Backstreet Boys. And Bart's like, who are these monsters? Call the police. They killed my mouth. They want to rock my body. And then the police all pile in and take Homer to the ground. And we see Chief Wiggins hanging out with a cup of coffee. He's like, nah, I love this song. We then cut to another video called All the News That's Fit to Prince. It's obviously Martin Prince. We see another recommendation video just called Grandpa's Nighttime Skincare Routine. And the channel is called Abe We Time instead of Every Time, obviously. I love that. Just, Grandpa clearly has awful skin. His skincare routine. Martin gives a retrospective on the family and how their success led to them doing their own solo channels, such as Marge combining her love for food and conversations with deep fried thoughts. And it's basically like a parody of Hot Ones, or Krusty is eating a bunch of different fried foods. And Marge is like, you ready for round four, Krusty? Like, round three doesn't feel like it's done with me, but my agent tells me this is what talk shows are now, so bring it on. And his next dish is a tuna melt served in funnel cake and filled with hack mayonnaise.
Horrible.
Absolutely disgusting, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm regretting all of those bagels I ate in the green room. The grease and the sugar are forming a paste in the back of my throat. And Marge is like,
do you think your comedy is fueled by rage towards your father or towards yourself?
Well, I'd rather talk about my new holiday movie, A Very Merry Christmas. Oh, the batteries in my lungs. Ow! Why is this a show?
And it's only like a slight exaggeration of shows like Hot Ones. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a show. Shoveling fucking horrible grease foods down celebrities' mouths. We didn't see the Bart blow up with his own pranking channel called The Gert Squad. And it's a shot of him going into an ice cream parlor, and he's pretending to be allergic to strawberry ice cream. And he throws up like fake vomit, but it's actually like a strawberry yogurt or something, onto the squeaky voice teen. And there's another montage of like him pouring this onto Ken Brockman while he's reporting, him throwing a truck full of it on top of Mole Man for no reason at all. He's just standing there minding his own business. A private jet pours onto a parade. And it's clearly, it's like not even a prank. He's just throwing yogurt on people. Yeah. But that is also like what a lot of those YouTube prank channels have become now. Like, they're not even pranks. Yeah. They're just like purposely causing people inconvenience.
It's just like, yeah, calling people the N-word in the hood. And it's just like, well, there's no prank here. You're just being a dick.
A fucking idiot, yeah. Too. And it's going to get yourself beaten up. Like, yeah, exactly. And we said Lisa used her fame to draw attention to issues close to her heart. We see she's going to a littered beach, and she's cutting wires to free a trapped seal. This is very Lisa things, obviously. He clicks out this video again and finds one called The Dark Side of the Simpsons Family by someone called Troop Wizard. It's like a guy wearing a hood and he's doing like the, you know, the, what do you call that? Like, the voice has been altered,
yeah.
So you don't know who it is. And he's like, I can't let these lies continue for one more second. This video will resume after ad. And obviously in the States, this is the point where the ads would have came on. We go back and the ad is over. We see this middle house. His mom turns on the light and she's like, why are you recording in the dark? You'll hurt your eyes. The doctor says your nose can't support thicker glasses. He says he recorded every Simpson Family video. And we cut to the video at the very start, but it's like an unedited footage version of that video. Homer calls Milhouse their camera monkey and makes him take his shoes off before entering the house. We see the Homer's getting stressed out because he can't find the fridge. And he goes to get a hammer, but Marge says not to. He's like, oh, you never let me get the hammer. They cut to him. You want to say something?
Yeah, I was just No, that's fine. I was just going to say, I like that The Simpsons still cater to people watching it live on TV.
Yeah.
They still make, like, the ad break jokes and everything. Yeah. Like, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's nice quality. Charming. Yeah, it is charming, definitely. Because, no,
shows don't do that anymore.
No, certainly not. But it is like, you know, I'm sure most people watching The Simpsons nowadays are watching Disney Plus, but it's like, I know, it's almost like a piece of history or something, yeah. That we still get to see that, you know. And on the very rare occasions where I do end up watching on Sky or Channel 4 or something, it's kind of cool when they have those moments and then you actually get the ads, you know, it's clever.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I think it's cool. This particular gag actually worked either way because it's like the YouTube thing. You know, because they're getting more and more ridiculous too. You'll watch like 1 minute of a 4 minute video, and you know, suddenly you've got two ads that you can't even skip.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a fun little gag. We then cut to him recording Bart and Lisa skipping through the house holding hands. They stop and Bart's like, your hands are so sweaty. And Lisa's like, would you tell my scene partner to be more professional? And I was like, Bart, Lisa has a no. He's like, shut up, Milhouse. Just pushed him to the floor. This is forever just being the pushover, getting pushed around. He then reveals that Bart's Gert Squad is actually just paid Spucklers, as in Cleese's kids, because they've been taking off their costumes and they're clearly Cleese's kids. And they said they don't understand what he does. They don't get how it's a prank and not just a waste of yogurt. And Bart's like, okay, I'll use pudding instead. Great note. He asks if they want to stay over and go on his trampoline. He says he'll take out the safety barrier and pay them. They're like, time and a half and a pack of eggs. Our hen is feeling poorly. Then Miles is like, oh, even my on-again, off-again girlfriend Lisa fell prey to the siren call of internet fame. We then cut back to the bit of her earlier, like, cleaning up the messy beach. One of the most, like, irredeemable moments I can think of at least for the whole show, this bit. Just, like, horrible behavior.
Yeah.
The beach is actually spotless. She's getting people to throw dirt on it. And we cut to Gil struggling to get wires onto a seal. And the seal bites him and runs away. And someone's like, that's a wrecked seal. Catch him. We're going to lose our deposit. He then starts focusing on Homer and Maggie. We see Homer having an interview with a film company who's getting them to advertise a new Nom Nom movie, which is clearly a parody of the Minions. Nom Nom 6 European Nomcation. But Homer says that Maggie is terrified of Nom Noms, especially the girl one. But they decorated her whole room with them for a video. And he's like, oh, Barry will do it. He's like, either the baby does it or we're done here. He's like, I guess that's non-negotiable. Like, that's not a word. We can cut to him sending Maggie into her room with a GoPro on her head. And we see that her room is like covered in all of these like Nom Nom type characters. He tells her that there's a bunny in there. She goes straight in and starts crying. Homer apologizes, but she throws off the GoPro and storms off. We go back to Milhouse. He's like,
poor Maggie. Although I like the girl Nom Nom. I like her a lot. I like the way her glasses have eyelashes and...
Milhouse, come do your eardrops.
Mom!
Milhouse is just such an incel.
Yeah, literally. I mean, he's only 10 years old, but he's definitely on his way to be... He kind of already is an incel. He has a crush on... And those characters were just like Minions. Like, there's clearly, like, nothing sexual about them whatsoever. And he likes the girl one just because she has eyelashes. Fantastic. We then cut to another video, one of my favourite bits, the Lenny and Carol situation, number 751. And this video is called Homer Sucks, featuring Mo, clearly a long-form podcast with Lenny, Carol and Mo.
I love it.
so good.
Can you imagine if we actually had a full podcast of that?
Like a whole episode of that?
They need to do that.
I'd watch every second of it.
Just put it on Spotify or something. Just have like an app. That would be so cool. Just an hour of them chatting shit.
Yeah, that'd be so good. You don't even have to write it.
They could do that.
Yeah. It's three different voice actors. Homer, Lenny... Not Homer. Carol, Lenny and Mo. You can literally just... You don't even need to write it. Just have them improvise for 3 hours. And upload. That'd be so good. I would watch every single second of it. It'd be a special episode of Dylan and Sebastian's podcast. I was trying to cover that long form video. You know, it's like the Joe Rogan Experience, obviously, a long form conversation. And then he's like, you want me hey today, Mo? And Mo's like, hey, don't cancel me, eh? And they say that they're talking about the Simpsons Family Vlog, obviously. They say that of all the nights that they got blackout drunk with Homer, he never mentioned Maggie once. And they theorize that Maggie won't make videos with him. And that all of the videos nowadays with Homer and Maggie are just high-tech trickery. Then play a clip, and it's a clip from before of Homer giving Maggie that mini castle, and we see that it was actually a doll of Maggie, and her head falls off. One of my favorite lines is Homer just going, oh, even fake Maggies hate me. We go back and they're like, Lenny's like, I'm thinking of going on the all peanut diet. You heard of this? And Mo's like, clearly just talking out of his ass like they always do on those podcasts. He's like, oh, the Aztecs, and you know, that's all they ate. Not the crap we have today, like proper peanuts. And they lived for like 100, 200 years. And the guy sees the video is 3 hours and 54 minutes long. He clicks into a video called, by the Simpsons Family Vlog channel. It's called Huge Announcement, brought to you by Cluckstop. And there's another like video recommendation. It's called 10 Things We Hate About Santa's Little Helper. The channel is Team Snowball 2. The family make a formal announcement that they will be doing a formal live stream to address all the allegations against them, and they will cluck stop at nothing for their trust back. We then cut to a video called Freaky Leaks, obviously by Professor Frink. He reveals this video was 9 days ago, and that the family haven't been heard from since. That was a cool little... Once I got to that, I was like, oh, this is going in an interesting direction. He says, I will theorize where they are in the special edition of... He's just like, that's your cue. A robot comes in, like, Freaky Leaks. Like, okay, now play the suspenseful music. He starts making coffee. He's like, no, that's a latte macchiato. And then he starts playing the music. He's like, well, you may as well finish my coffee now. We got to him like writing theories up on a whiteboard, and we see that he's somehow connected Snowball 1 to the Illuminati, and he theorizes that they're being held hostage by one of their sponsors. We get like a little quick montage of all these different, like, you know, conspiracy theory channels trying to guess what happened to the Simpsons. Basically, one is Seymour Sees More, obviously Principal Skinner, who thinks that Homer is an alien in a fat suit. Wegman's World, once again a clip from White, a cameo appearance from White, Mike Wegman, who was, we last saw in, I forget the name of it, was the one with the shoe with The Weeknd.
Yeah,
he was in that one, like giving away like the bootleg shoes.
It wasn't great.
I liked that one.
Episode. I swear that episode wasn't great.
I thought it was good. We liked that one. With The Weeknd, where he played like Jaden Smith and Will Smith.
It was alright.
Like a parody of them.
Yeah.
It was a fun episode. Yeah, not an amazing one. But I loved this character. Another great appearance by him here. He clearly has his own blog now called Wegman's World, and very consistent to his character, loving Homer and hating Barry. He just goes,
"Let me tell you something. Homer Simpson has done more for this country than Dr. Fauci and Dr. Pimple Popper combined. It's not his fault. He has a trash son with a face like a lunch bag. Okay? Leave Homer Simpson alone. Leave him alone."
There's a reference to,
of course,
leave Brittany alone.
Yeah, what was that person's name again?
I can't remember.
Chris something.
That's just OG YouTube.
Of course, yeah, classic, like the very beginnings of YouTube. Like,
which reminds me,
trying to bit my finger and stuff like that.
Yeah, whenever I see stuff like that and like Chocolate Rain and stuff.
Yeah.
It reminds me, do you remember that South Park episode where they're like all in that waiting room to get their YouTube money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they're all there.
Yeah, what was that episode about again? I guess they just,
it's like they try and become like a YouTube sensation so they get money. And then they're like in the YouTube headquarters waiting to get their paycheck.
They're all there, Lee Brittany alone is there, and Tezane.
Yeah.
I think Ben Truder was also in. You know, Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wives. Yeah,
and the throwbacks. The Tron guy.
Yeah, and he's there just like trashing the whole place. He's still doing the fucking Tron stuff. There's the Star Wars guy as well. Then we cut to where ASMR The Simpsons, and it's a channel called Patty and Selma's Tingle Palace, and they're theorizing what they think happened to the family, but obviously they're whispering it in a very sexy ASMR way. They think that he's hiding out on the family houseboat after eating his family in a cloud of belches that used to be his wife and kids. And then Selma, or Patty actually, starts scratching a bank card against her hairy legs, and the guy just turns the video off. And we then cut to a video called We Locate the Simpsons Mansion by the Property Damage Brothers. It's just the four bullies. We find out that Kearney's mom is dating a guy who got fired from the post office, and he gave them their address. It's like, but first they gotta do cemetery parkour, and they start jumping on a bunch of graves. They're like, hey, Jewish guy, angel baby. I got to another video called Stepping Up to the Simpsons by a channel called Whatever Bitch with Sauna, with Shauna. And the bullies start beating up Jimbo for giving Shauna the address. Just to say, it's not obvious at this point. This episode's obviously like, you know, it's kind of hard to cover because it's very, like, jumping all around the place. And it did so in a very fun way, but it's kind of hard to cover in this, you know, audio-only podcast way. I'm trying my best here. Because they start beating up Jimbo. And we see that Martin has also found the house, and all of the previous vloggers that we've seen throughout the episode have tracked down the house. And they're all recording themselves, including the crazy cat lady who's, like, doing her shouting voice. And just goes, like and subscribe. It's like the most articulate she's ever been. And then break in, discover that the family all left their phones out. And they didn't find their panic room, which is sponsored by Mountain Dew, which I love. It's a stupid detail. They find the family, all hiding out in there. We then cut to a different video of the family being interviewed by Opal, who asks why they were hiding in a panic room for 9 days. Opal would have been on the show a lot in, like, maybe, like, the 15th to the 19th season, stuff like that. I guess when Oprah was, like, in her fame, you know. We haven't seen her in years. It was kind of cool to see her back. We find out that the company that built the family's new house had only previously built NFT houses and installed the panic room backwards, so you could get in but you couldn't get out. We see the family were stressed out by their upcoming live stream, and Bart started throwing back CBD gummies in the panic room, and then Lisa came in, they started fighting for the gummies. Marge came in trying to put a stop to it, worried that they would sweat through their sponsored activewear. And then Homer enters in because he can't find the fridge again, and they all get trapped. we go back to them being interviewed by Opal, and Marge is like, well, we are trapped and it was all Homer's fault. And Homer's like, you said it was nobody's fault. Like, that's how I'm supposed to feel, but I'm not there yet. They're clearly doing some sort of couples counseling together. We cut to them in the panic room. We see they start eating all the sponsored food that they'd been shilling but had never actually eaten. That there was a huge supply, Homer says, my favorite line the whole episode.
Luckily, there was also a huge supply of single-use hat toilets.
I'm pretty sure those were just hats.
It's just such a good line. It's so ridiculous. He saw there was hats, and to make himself feel better for having to shit in them, he convinced himself that they were single-use hat toilets. It's just so stupid. I love it. They started going through withdrawal symptoms by having no, not being able to post content. We see that Bart's writing up hours without a like on a chalkboard, and Lisa's drawing love hearts on the mirror. We see that Maggie's disappeared. They think she went through the vent, and Homer tells her to come back and that he won't be hashtag daddy anymore, just daddy. They find that she was actually just in the upper drawer, and she nearly falls. Homer catches her, and Maggie throws up on him like they did in the very start of the episode, which is what made the whole vlog channel start, basically. And Marge goes, after that, something strange happened. We started talking to each other, like texting with our mouths. I never realized that you could LOL IRL. And they said after a while, the only subscribers they needed were in that room. And they said that they'd delete their YouTube channel because they're no longer the Simpsons family. They're the Simpsons. And Homer's like, I don't even check emails anymore. But that's mainly because we moved back to Evergreen Terrace and our neighborino changed his passwordly dirtily. And Opal's like, there you have it. The rise, fall, disappearance, and reappearance and retirement of the family America couldn't get enough of for a year. And Homer's like, can we see your beehive? Like, no, we're done here. And we cut in to see who's been like watching this is a ridiculous joke, but I liked it. Who's been like on the computer this whole time? We said it was George R. R. Martin. And he's like, well, there's 4 hours of my life I'll never get back. And we just hear someone in the other room going,
George R. R. Martin, you better be working on that new book.
I am.
You said you would finish it years ago.
I'm gonna.
They already made 2 TV shows about it.
I know that. I went to the parties.
No more parties until you finish that book.
I'm writing it right now. I'm doing research.
He just looks up dragon ideas on YouTube. One thing pops up, just says 12 fan ideas for George R. R. Martin's next book. It's like, oh, we could click into that. But instead he clicks into Fiercest Drag Queen Fights at Waffle House. And it's just a video of 2 drag queens fighting in a Waffle House. And he just smiles watching that. And the credits pop up. The credits were cool. The way they did it was like, it was like when you get like video suggestions while watching a YouTube video is what they looked like. Done very nicely. And yeah, that was a great episode. After you, sir.
Yeah, no. I mean, this episode was interesting. It's like a different formula to what we usually
see. Of course,
see.
Yeah.
And it was, I think they did it in a very unique way.
Mm.
And it's nice to sometimes get those episodes that aren't really canon and are like just them trying something.
I can
always appreciate.
In like a behind the laughter type way, actually.
Yeah, I can always appreciate them trying something.
Definitely.
Even if, for me, it didn't work too well.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, I found it funny and I enjoyed a lot of the episode.
Mm.
I just found it a bit overwhelming and it was a lot of information to absorb in one, and I felt like if you didn't understand all the specific references, you weren't really going to enjoy the episode.
Fair.
I feel like this episode has had a target audience.
Definitely a
usually
younger.
The Simpsons appeals to every age, but this felt like it was for younger people.
I
didn't get all the references, and
sure,
that's why it didn't really work for me, because it felt like you had to be a specific person.
Yeah.
But the positives, they tried something new. It's definitely something they could do again.
Definitely.
You know, like, it was experimental. It had some really funny moments. I like that we got to see a different side to the characters. Like, Lisa was obviously very evil in this episode.
Yeah.
Homer was obviously evil but also misunderstood,
like,
in this episode.
Snappier, yeah.
So I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed all the like sort of celebrity references as well, and
YouTubers, it was
great. And so yeah, I just don't, because of the fact that it was a bit niche and I just don't think it quite hit the standard I hold for The Simpsons. So I would give it a 6.5 because they still gave it a go and it was still an enjoyable concept.
Yeah, fair enough. I really liked it, and just to go back on the point that you made, I guess the references did work for me. I don't think there was anything I didn't understand. I hear your point. It didn't cross my mind watching it, to be honest. Like, I hear your point, yeah, and like, you know, maybe somebody who's been watching the show since 1989, who would now be in, let's say, maybe his 60s, might be tone deaf to this episode, you know. I ran an example of a person. Yeah, because the YouTube stuff is very modern. But I got all of it. I mean, I'm very interested in YouTube culture, actually. It's something that fascinates me, and they went into it very well in this episode, I thought, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I gave it an 8 out of 10. I hear your points, though. I said the device of not leaving the internet, I thought, was brilliantly done. Like, it was, there was no point where they cheated that. It was all like, it was as if you were the person on the computer finding out who this family were, basically. Yeah. And, which we all do. We sort of go into rabbit holes and like, oh, this person's interesting. See what else they did. We start watching other people's videos about that person and stuff like that. Like, we've all fallen for that. Like, you start procrastinating. I thought that was done really well. It reminded me of that movie Missing that I had on a rec before. Because that whole movie is done, like, just on the computer. I think it's a fun concept. I like the limitations of that. But also the complexities of trying to write a cohesive story using that device. I thought it was done well in this episode. I thought the whole ensemble, I thought their whole involvement in the episode was done really well. Like, who was chosen to be what, like, Compa Guy being this guy doing video essays, and Professor Frank, you know, perfectly done there. Lenny, Carol, and Mo having a podcast together. It all just made sense. I like the casting choices that were made there. I said it was funny while also taking a captivating story. And I just mentioned, I love the device of feeling like you were the person on the computer searching up all these things. Yeah, I thought it was done very well. All right, fair enough. Let us jump into the news.
Ooh. Live from London City, it's a very bad but slightly improved impression of Camp Rockman here to let you know it's time for Simpsons News.
Yes, sadly, only one piece of news this week, and having less news, it'll probably be the case for the next while. Firstly, because it's summertime now, so they're on a hiatus, but also with the writer's strike, we probably won't be getting a lot of Simpsons news. It'll probably be a quicker segment for a while. Let's see. But this week, it's just one piece of news. But a fun piece of news, Bill Oakley, who used to be a showrunner and a writer on the show, a showrunner of my favorite seasons, 7 and 8, launched a steamed hams lager, which he describes as being a beer made perfect to have to go with burgers, basically. So very, very exciting and cool. It's perfect because obviously it's a very popular meme, but also he wrote the steamed ham scene. So yeah. Like, if anyone deserves to make a product based off that scene, it should be him, you know? So I love that, just how far this meme has gone. It's now a beer named Steve.
I feel like a lot of the news we're gonna get in the next stuff few like months that will be stuff like that and more fan stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So this isn't quite related to the show, naturally. But that was one fun little piece of news. Let's jump into Seb's classics.
It's very ironic because me and Dylan are big fans of Ricky Gervais shows and and him.
Yeah, as the man in general,
We don't always agree with him, which is fine.
Yeah, of course, I don't need to...
That's an important thing.
Yeah, you don't need to agree with everything someone believes or thinks in order to like them as a person, as a creation, even.
What they do.
Their work, yeah.
And it was ironic because we were talking about him earlier.
We
watched something on YouTube, but I actually was planning to watch a Ricky Gervais Simpsons episode.
It all came together quite nicely.
For the classic, yes. So... newer-ish for the classics. It's season 17.
But it's also, we realized, 17 years old.
Yeah.
So it's not really that new. This episode is now older than the age of Simpsons was when it came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this was 17 years old when it came out, and now this episode is 17 years old. Yeah, mental. That's been weird for Ricky.
I went for, Homer Simpson, This Is Your Wife. So. Yes. Ricky Gervais wrote this episode,
of course,
and it's basically, it's funny because this episode, you can tell it's written by Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
But also, if I watched this episode and had no idea who he is,
yeah,
it would still seamlessly feel like a Simpsons episode.
Yeah, true.
Very authentic still.
Yeah, I do think once Ricky comes into it, it does become a bit more like a British comedy than it does like a typical Simpsons episode, but yeah, not in a bad way. I just mean like stuff like the whole sequence where he's playing the guitar and chatting with Marge. That seems so long and drawn out, and a little cringe.
Awkward, yeah.
Yeah, which is definitely more like The Office extras type style than would be The Simpsons. But not in a bad way. It still fits into the show perfectly.
I guess
perfectly.
That's what he did well, was implementing his sense of humour into
it. He definitely did, yeah. I love all the bits of him just like making little awkward jokes and just this American family not getting it. Like the bit where he's like, I'm going to go right to my wife and I'm going to say to her, you're fired. You know, that's The Apprentice, you know, the rich guy. Oh, trust me, if you got it, you'd be laughing. Marge and Lisa are both like, we know who Donald Trump is. Clearly you don't. He's like, starts awkwardly fixing his tie. It's just so good and awkward. Very David Brent type character.
And yeah, it's such a great plot with Homer going to Lenny's house for a party. Lenny has a plasma screen TV, which obviously at the time this was made was probably such a new concept.
Of course.
So it was amazing.
Groundbreaking, yeah. I love that Homer's whole objective in the episode is just to get a plasma TV.
Just get a plasma screen TV.
And he's willing to go through anything. He doesn't care about Marge going to England, living with another man, and a woman living in his house with him that he's sharing a bed with, just as long as he can get that plasma
it's
TV.
It led to the wife.
The wife swap show,
swap,
yeah.
Yeah, and
Winner gets a plasma screen TV.
Ricky Gervais' character just falls in love with Marge, but then Homer just absolutely hates his wife.
Yeah, she's absolute misery. There's a little bit where he walks into the kitchen and is like, oh, what is that delicious smell? It's like, I'm burning all your underpants. She's an absolute nightmare woman.
It's really good, and like, I don't know, I just think it was the perfect balance.
It was, yeah, totally, because it does feel like a Simpsons episode, but also it does feel like it's written by Ricky Gervais. Like, it would have been a shame if, like, he felt like it needed to focus on The Simpsons so much that he couldn't, like, bring in his own character who had a lot to do. I thought it was a perfect mix of, like, Marge and Homer being the main characters of this episode. Their objectives are very clear in it, and they have good arcs in it, but there's still so much going on with Charles, too, so perfectly. I mean, the song is my favourite part of the episode. Mm. It's such perfect Ricky Gervais.
I think, honestly, I reckon Stephen Merchant would write an even better episode.
Oh, true. Yeah, he has been in the show.
He would write
before,
an even better episode.
Never wrote an episode. Yeah, because he's a little bit more goofy in his style, I think.
And he's more
Ricky.
Of a nerd about.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, definitely. He might have a more intricate understanding of The Simpsons. I'd love if he wrote an episode.
It's obvious why all the shows Ricky Gervais did started going downhill once him and Stephen Merchant started working together.
And the shows.
Not that they're bad, but just. Yeah. You know, they were just a good partnership. They made
great. Yeah, they had a great marriage together. Yeah, I mean, I do like Derek. It's not as good as The Office or Extras, but I do like Derek. But yeah, I mean, we've mentioned the podcast several times that we're not fans of Afterlife. But then I know you said you don't like The Outlaws. I haven't seen The Outlaws, but Hello Ladies,
Ladies, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Well, I've seen clips, and you said it's great.
Hello Ladies is fantastic. If anyone hasn't seen that, that's the first like major TV show that Steve Merchant made without Ricky. It's on HBO. You can find it on Now TV as well. So it's two seasons and it concludes with a movie, and I think the whole show is fantastic. He's so good in it. Because it starts off with such a simple, cringy British concept. Just like this awkward man, single man in his 40s trying to pick up women, but it goes into a deeper area while still being funny and cringy. It's so Steven in the best way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. I think the song in this episode is fantastic. That bit's so Ricky. I doubt the writers of Simpsons had anything to do with that song. I think that was all Ricky.
Definitely.
It's just so good.
They did say in the credits, like, music original by Ricky.
Oh, did it really? Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, that's all him then. Lady, when you came to me, I was feeling blue. Blue just like your hair, you see. Blue just like the moon. It's all just so good. The bit as well where he's telling her the joke about the genie.
Oh god,
and
yeah,
it's like everything that I get, your wife, my wife gets double. It's like, oh, I get a house, your wife gets you. And at the very end, it's like, I want to be beaten half to death. So your wife would be beat that the marriage hates the Joe, the punchline of Joe, but she loves to set it. I was like, oh, I think the genie was cool. I could really picture him with his hat and smoke going everywhere. And Richard Face is just so smitten by her. I call him, it was Charles, but obviously the character with Face is Richard Face.
Wonderful
episode.
I'd give it a 8.5.
I'll give it a 9.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 9. I think it's a wonderful episode. Like you said, it's a perfect mix of two things that I love that are so different, you know. Like, watching The Simpsons, watching The UK Office are not the same feeling.
No.
And they somehow managed to get those two very different comedy writing styles together in such an impressive way.
Yeah.
And it could have gone so sour. I think they managed to achieve in such an impressive way. So, yeah, I'll give it a 9. Moving on to All But the First 10. Yeah, so as I mentioned in the last podcast, I want to retire this segment because I have a new segment I want to do that's kind of similar, so it would make sense to do both at the same time. So I will announce what that new segment is next week. But this week, I'm going to do the final All But the First 10. And I decided to go with like a classic theme this week because it's the last one. And also this episode is a good example of one, so I went for 3 episodes that utilize the whole family, which this episode does. And when I say the whole family, I usually would just mean Homer, Marge, Bart, and Lisa. But this actual episode utilizes all 5 of them, like Maggie included. I'm saying My Life as a Vlog did. But when I say the whole family, I usually just mean Homer, Marge, Bart, and Lisa, because it's hard to find ones that also utilize Maggie. Yeah, pretty rare. At number 3, I went for 500 Keys, which is in the 22nd season. Great episodes. Basically, it's like Marge and Homer go to a key party and they leave it early, but they have all these keys that they took with them, and it's basically they split off into fours, like they all have 4 separate stories, basically trying to find out what these keys open, and it all of them go into really fun, different, interesting areas. This is a really fun, cool concept, and it's just done really well. Number 2, I went for Catch 'Em If You Can, season 15. This is one where Marge and one like finally go on a vacation without Bart and Lisa. They get really jealous and they basically try to track down Homer and Marge.
Yeah.
And the whole episode is basically becomes like a parody of Catch 'Em If You Can. Bart and Lisa trying to find Marge and Homer. Have you seen this episode?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, great. It's in season 15. Yeah. So. An earlier one. You see, such a fantastic episode. And also utilizes Grandpa really well in that episode also. He goes on the journey with Bart and Lisa, so he's using that episode very well also. Again, when I say the whole family, I'm only kind of going Homer, Marge, Bart and Lisa, but like extra points if Maggie or Grandpa manage to come into the episode as well. And then number 1, I'm sure I mentioned on the podcast before, Halloween of Horror, which is in season 27, the only episode of the show so far to be set in Halloween. It's not a Treehouse of Horror, like it's an actual canon episode. And it's just a wonderful episode. Like it channels like all those fears that we experience as a kid when we start to find out like what being scared is for the first time. It does that really well through Lisa's eyes, but Homer's utilized very well in the episode also, trying to protect her. And then there's a side story of Bart and Marge, who is probably the least common duo of the family we ever get to see. Bart and Marge, like, I feel like we see Bart and Homer way more, Marge and Homer, Lisa and Bart, you know what I mean? Bart and Marge is like the duo we see least.
Definitely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's always fun to see them getting up to something. It's basically Bart trying to get Marge to just have a bit more fun and to like loosen up a little bit. So yeah, both dynamics in the episodes is done so well. And as an honorable mention, I went Behind the Laughter, because I love Behind the Laughter, and it does utilize all of them very well, but it's obviously not canon. It's a very different version of the family, but I do love that episode, so just as an honourable mention. Yes, I can lose the segment. Stay tuned to the next podcast. Yeah. We'll show you guys. Segment. Goodbye, All But the First 10. Stay tuned for the next podcast where I will introduce the new segment that will be replacing this one. Jumping on to the questions. Two of them are really weird. One is a pretty normal one. Three.
Oh, three, okay.
Three. Two are very weird. One is a normal question.
Let's just start with a normal one.
Is there a normal one?
Yeah.
Simpsons shit posts and stuff. A very fun meme, Simpsons meme page that we follow and follow us on the old Instagrams. Definitely must have known what episode we were reviewing because they asked their favorite vlog channel.
Favorite vlog channel?
Yeah.
I like that they knew.
Yeah, I mean, they must have. I mean, it's too much of a coincidence.
They obviously knew the last episode, so knew this was the one.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool.
They've got fans.
Cause it's like in theme. Yeah, I love it.
Favorite vlog channel?
Yeah. I mean, there's none that I watch religiously, personally, but like ones I like dip into sometimes. I like the Vlog Brothers, Hank Green and John Green. They're fun. I'm actually following them a little bit at the moment because Hank Green is currently going through chemo, and the way that they're both kind of covering that together is like very sweet and like actually really, really heartwarming. A few of their videos have made me cry. So if I was to say one, I'd probably say the Vlog Brothers. But if I'm thinking about ones I've ever actually watched like significantly, I used to love, controversial, Toby Turner.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, because he's had a couple of Me Too moments in recent years. But I used to love his vlog channels. I thought he had a great personality. I used to always refer to him as the Jim Carrey of YouTube. I think that was very much the case back then. He was so wacky and fun, just had a great energy to him. Yeah, I loved him. I also used to watch Danebo, the guy who created Annoying Orange.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great vlog channel as well, I think just called Danebo Does Stuff. And he was always answered questions on that, and I got a few questions in there before. I remember loving that.
Okay.
But yeah, those are the only ones I've ever watched, significantly.
I don't really watch many.
No, have me either.
Probably Logan Paul and Jake. No, I'm joking. there's a guy, he's a bit controversial, but I find I've used to watch his vlogs sometimes, and he's,
Andrew Tate.
It's very informative stuff.
Andrew Tate.
another bald guy.
Oh?
He's called Bald and Bankrupt.
No, I never heard of him.
He's this English guy, and he basically, like, I'm really interested in, like, the Soviet Union and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he basically just spends his time traveling across Eastern Europe.
Oh, damn.
Even still, at the moment.
Which Jesus.
Is dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, but that guarantees more views, I guess. Yeah. More interesting content.
He just knows a lot about it, like, speaks fluent Russian and everything, and he just, wow. He just will show you, like, Russia is so huge, and Ukraine,
of course, yeah,
and there's still gigantic. So many like little towns and places that are just like still little like Soviet unions, and like
it's really
there's still
shit.
All this like old memorabilia and everything, because a lot of old people still aren't over it and still live in that time, and they're still convinced that it was a good period.
And they're set in their ways now. They will always feel that way, you know. No point in trying to change that perspective.
Is mental,
crazy.
Yeah, and
does he like interview people and stuff?
He does, yeah. Okay. And he just goes around and shows you all the old stuff, and I'm also a big fan of Soviet architecture.
Okay.
So like I love the style and everything, and like all the like reds, and it's just so cool.
Nice.
So that's a guy I've watched a fair bit, all of Minecraft, because it's like informative and interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely
and
more interesting.
Tickles my niche spot for the Soviet Union.
Yeah. I like tickling your niche, but that's definitely a more interesting channel than the ones that I said. Mine were just like guys that I like talking about their lives, or yours is one like this guy is actually taking genuine risks for content. I definitely check him out. He's cool. Bored and Bankrupt?
Bold.
Bold and Bankrupt.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah, I did definitely check him out. Next question. I mean, this one is like, you got a thesis on this question. Ollie Miller, I mean, credit to Precocious Jew to Ollie.
Favourite Australian comedian.
Credit to Precocious Jew to our favourite Australian comedian. He has been asking some of the best questions recently, and he has hit a peak with this one, I think. If you had to have a dream and a nightmare blunt rotation with three Simpsons characters, who and why?
Interesting. Should we start with a dream or a nightmare?
I think the nightmare's more interesting. Let's start with the dream, yeah. Okay. The dream trio.
The dream. Otto.
Yeah, definitely. He'll have the good stuff.
Yeah.
He's the one who brings it, obviously.
I reckon... Let me think.
Otto. Because he's got the weed.
I'd go for... Otto.
Mm-hmm.
Bart.
Oh, yeah, fair.
And...
He'll bring the fun.
I reckon actually no I'd go for Otto,
yeah,
Mo, because I think Mo smoking would be really cool.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I think they can count as one person, so I'm gonna say Ann Carl and Lenny.
Okay, yeah, fair, yeah. Fair. They count as their own kind of
like
separate
duo.
Yeah, exactly. You can't really have one without the other.
I can't choose one of them.
Yeah, that would be fun, yeah, because you have Otto being the guy who brings it. you have Mo probably being the one who goes into crazy areas. Yeah. And then Lenny and Carol will probably just be entertaining. Then also you get to find out more about them.
And they all counteract each other well.
Like, yeah, they do.
Going to be chill.
Yeah.
Mo can get intense, but then Lenny and Carl are going to like bring the humor in.
Yeah,
it,
definitely. It was the group too, because they're all clearly kind of lonely people. Mm. So they would be people who would find themselves just in a K-hole together, you know? My dream three, I'm going to, just to make it more fun, I'm going to not allow myself to say any of the three that you said. So you get the best one with Otto, though. Who else is there that would be like a kind of a druggy person? It's tricky. I'm going to say Groundskeeper Willie, because you know that man has stories. We'd probably be doing it in his shed. I think Homer for the laughs.
Yeah.
And just to see how, you know, he'd be crazy on it. Just because he's my favorite character. Why wouldn't I have Homer in there? Homer, Groundskeeper Willie. And who would be my last person? Maybe Krusty?
Really?
Because I feel like he'd be good at it, first of all. So he wouldn't make things weird. I feel like he's done a bit of smoking. And also just would have the stories.
Yeah, he would definitely have stories.
Yeah, you know, it would be entertaining. Yeah, I'm happy with that trio.
Okay.
The nightmare trio now.
Okay, I've got mine.
Yeah.
Sideshow Bob.
Oh, Jesus. Literal maniac.
Mr. Burns. and Principal Skinner.
Because he would be, like, really paranoid. Yeah.
Principal Skinner would be really paranoid.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns. He'd pull a Whitey. Would just be, like...
He'd petrify you.
Yeah, talking about some scary shit. And Sideshow Bob would just be such a vibe. Killer.
Yeah,
like, he would just kill the vibe so much.
That is definitely the best answer. I don't think I can top that. It's so good, because Skinner would probably pull a Whitey and start having panic attacks. Sideshow Bob will just like start telling about how people shouldn't deserve to live and stuff like that and terrify you. And Burns probably start talking about like how the Nazis were kind of right and stuff like that. It's just
the whole vibe was just so off.
Awful. Yeah, that's great. I don't think I can top that, but I'll try my best. Gil. I think again would be kind of like Skinner. He'd probably be very self-pity as well.
Yeah,
you know, Grandpa, because he's already so senile.
Yeah, start having war flashbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking PTSD, maybe. Gil, Grandpa, and who's my third nightmare person? Lisa.
Oh God, yeah, Lisa.
Even though I love Lisa, she's one of my favorite characters. In terms of that situation, actually, I think that's a pretty good one as well. It's a good trio.
Yeah.
Gil, because firstly, that's three losers.
Yeah.
Secondly, you're smoking with a grandfather and his granddaughter, which is a weird setup anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gil would be super paranoid. Probably start ask you to, like, can he stay on your couch and ask for, like, for you to pay him or something. Yeah, Grandpa would probably start having war flashbacks, and Lisa would start talking about how the world is a terrible place and everything, and just, like, any bit of fun that Gil or Grandpa could possibly bring, she would just kill it.
Honorable mention for the dream one. Sideshow Mel.
Yeah, I can see him being fun. He'd have some stories from working the theatre and stuff like that. Do you know what also popped into my head since you're doing honorable mentions? Duffman would probably be a fun one, like a dream one.
Yeah,
he'd be an entertaining guy, yeah. Because essentially he has to play a character all day. I feel like he would love to just like let loose and have a smoke with. But yeah, that was a really fun question. Thanks, Ollie. That's one of the best ones we've ever gotten.
Definitely.
That was really, really fun, yeah.
Great.
And the third question, kind of an intense one, is that our most loyal listener, Sebastian Sanger, asks, could you both just kiss already? So, a recommendation of the week, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Rock, paper, scissors it up, baby. Scissor me. Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's me again. I got scissors, you got paper. I'm recommending two movies this
I'm
week.
I'm sure they never care.
I'm about man.
What we actually did.
Nah, dude. We know that people are invested here. If we ever do the... When we do eventually do the video podcast, people will be skipping right ahead to see us doing Rock, Paper, Scissors in action. You know?
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, I wonder what like their technique.
We'll see the most played part of the video, and it's always going to be that bit.
Yeah, like 55 minutes in or something. Just like a 10-minute sequence of us doing Rock, Paper, Scissors. People want to know like, what our techniques are and stuff, you know? They're probably wondering, do we like do rock, paper, scissors go, or do we both go on scissors, you know? Yeah. Like, also, people want to know, people are really intrigued by the dynamics, rock, paper, scissors.
I have a theory that people that use the metric measurement system go on scissors.
It's a weird sentence. You know? Yeah.
But yeah.
Makes sense.
I was thinking, I want to start like, you know how there's literally like a professional sport for anything now? Like,
yeah.
I've been watching like slapping contests.
You want to do freaking rock, paper, scissors?
Have you seen the slapping contest?
No.
They are intense.
Jesus.
Fucking massive bodybuilder
guys.
Oh no.
And
their faces are so like puffed up from being slapped so much, like cauliflower ears and everything.
Oh Jesus.
And they just like rub chalk in the hand. They just.
Fucking hell!
Knock each other out.
This is like horrible
it's
content.
Horrible.
I don't know
it's,
why it's
very popular in Russia, which doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't. fucking hell!
Any combat sport,
especially
Russia's
yeah,
all over it.
And at this very moment, Russia would be a particularly tense place to be. So
yeah.
Let it out by slapping each other. I guess that's mental.
But
it makes sense that something would blow up online.
I reckon I'm going to start the professional sport for
rock, paper, scissors championships. I love that because you could do that in a way to make it like a fun sport that people think there's a technique to it, even though in reality it's obviously just luck.
Yeah.
But you could dissect it in such a way that people get into it like it's a sport. Or you could be like, oh, I have this opponent, I'm fighting this guy today, and I know he always picks paper. But today, since people know that he always picks paper, maybe he's more of a rock guy now.
But still, somehow, it's always going to be some guy from China that wins it. Somehow.
Yeah, they always shine through, man. They're smart guys. Yeah, it's a good idea. Let's make it happen. Sponsored by the Special Citizens Podcast.
Yeah.
I think he'd be genius. I mean, then you'd genuinely blow up. I could see people watching that
We'd
content.
Be the commentators.
Of course, yeah, yeah. Like Joe Rogan, the UFC matches, but genuinely talking about like
yeah.
It's a proper, like, intense sport. Oh my god, he picks scissors again!
Oh my god, no, I was expecting that.
And he actually
he just pulled that out of nowhere.
He actually picked paper, what the hell? You ever see those marble races? They're actually really cool.
Oh yeah, I have.
Yeah, they're actually really fun to watch online. Yeah, it's crazy what people are considering in sports nowadays. I could genuinely see rock, paper, scissors blowing up. But anyhow, recommendations. The only, like, really amazing content I've seen since the last time I did this podcast has been movies. So I'm recommending two movies this week.
Yeah.
First, I have to go with Beau Is Afraid. I walked out of that movie a little bit like, I thought it was great, but I was like, I'm not certain about certain areas of it. And it's one of those movies, the more I thought about it, the more of
like,
I actually think it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie. So, you can write a thesis about it. It's just such, there's so much going on, so much deep elements to it. There's very little I can say about it because the trailers are so vague. I don't want to give anything away about it. I just think it's well... Anyone who likes Midsommar or Hereditary, it definitely has that wonderful Ari Aster style to it, but it's also way more personal in those movies.
Nice.
You can tell... I'm only theorizing here, but I think so. I think Bo, obviously Joaquin Phoenix's character, is him. And I think he's telling a like semi-autobiographical story through this character's eyes. And it's just... It's so beautiful and honest and blunt, but also scary. There's a lot of horror elements in it, but it was such a wonderful mix of genres. It had moments that made me cry and moments that had me at the edge of my seats like in fear.
I like that,
you know?
When I saw the trailer I was like, this is gonna be great.
It's wonderful. It's a proper A24 movie. It's so weird. It's 3 hours long, so brace yourselves, but honestly they flew by. It was I didn't want to leave. I was so invested in this character's journey and where it went. You made a good point before, I think it was on the podcast, or maybe just a mean reel, that it looked like a Charlie Kaufman movie. It definitely has Charlie Kaufman energy to it. It's very weird and out there. But those are kind of movies that I love. For anyone who loves those type of movies, Bo Is Afraid is where it's at. And if it doesn't get awards attention next year, I'll be disappointed. It's genuinely a very special movie. And Joaquin Phoenix, naturally, is just amazing.
He's
he is
incredible.
And a sensational actor, yeah. So yeah, that's my first recommendation.
Nice.
Yeah, yourself?
I was gonna go for because currently I don't know if you knew it's the playoff finals for NBA the basketball
cool.
So it's
they're showing them in like cinemas and stuff, aren't they?
Really?
Yeah, I thought that the only in Swiss Cottage anyway are doing like
I might have to go see this.
It's at like 1 a.m. some
yeah.
shows. Yeah, because obviously the time difference in America. But yeah, they're doing like screenings. Is it this week?
Wow. Yeah, it's this week. Yeah.
Yeah,
they finished game one.
Yeah.
So there's, it can be seven games. It's basically best out of.
Yeah.
best out of seven.
A couple of cinemas are screening every game, and not even like just the big ones, like every single game, wow, which is cool. Yeah, like, you need to watch to watch a basketball game like on a freaking IMAX screen would be pretty cool. Yeah,
let's see if anyone wants to go with me.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind checking out a game. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I like basketball. Yeah, I'm down. Definitely.
It's because, I mean, I'm very on and off with certain sports. Like, I always like football and stuff.
Yeah,
basketball. I've always been like, I go through phases with it.
Sure.
And it's the finals, and I was getting more into it this year. And
yeah. How about the Knicks?
They suck.
Yeah, as I know from every New York comedian I listen to, they're obviously very loyal to the Knicks, but they hate the Knicks.
Yeah. But the Knicks actually made the playoffs.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, this year, which is like the first time in ages.
Really?
Yeah.
And like how long?
A long time.
I think I heard this. It's like since like the 90s?
I think so.
Jeez, that's crazy.
But yeah, like I've really been enjoying the playoffs because it just seems very exciting this year, especially compared to normal.
There's a buzz around it.
Yeah.
Is it maybe the first time that they've been doing it fully since COVID? Like that they can do
It last year, but I think it's because it's like teams people didn't expect to make it.
Like the Knicks, obviously.
Like, the Denver Nuggets are probably going to win.
Okay.
Which is like super random because the Denver Nuggets have never been a huge team.
Right.
But they're just amazing this year. And why I like the NBA so much, it's so much different to how football works. Like,
yeah.
If you go to like the French league, like PSG win everything every single season because they have the most money. You know, it's just a monopoly. Football can become a monopoly. I mean,
definitely.
I'm lucky to be from England where the Premier League is like unpredictable still. But there's so many countries in the world where it's like, well, this team has the most money, so they're going to win everything because they get the best players.
Really?
But the NBA has such a fair system of like,
it's not about that.
Yeah, and it's like they get paid a lot of money, but like,
of course, yeah.
It's about the trading and about like, so it'd be like, oh well, we want this player from you, so we're gonna offer you our second round pick for next year's draft.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, like, yeah.
The rookies get drafted and they get the second overall pick from the rookies.
Mm.
You can have this if we can have this player of yours. And they'll be like, yeah, and then it's like a trading system.
Sure,
which is why it works so well, because it's like so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, even though we've lost one of our best players in a few years, this guy we get in the second overall pick might be one of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll help us. So it's such a long-term plan, which is like the Denver Nuggets are so good this year because they've got so many players that are now hitting their peak that have been there for a while.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a more
fair system than when you just talk about the football one.
It's just so interesting. It's like everything has fallen into place for them this year, and I'm rooting for them to win it.
That's cool.
It's super super exciting. It's such an exciting sport. Like, it's just back and forth. Like, I have such a problem with American sports because it's so catered to ads and like breaks.
Oh, big time, and yeah.
But basketball is just like one of them where it's like back and forth for a while. And yeah, it's great, and they're some of the best athletes in the world.
Like, genuinely, of course. Yeah,
it's just so entertaining.
It's such a skill, yeah. That's cool. So you're just recommending the NBA finals, basically.
Recommending getting into the finals because it's on this week.
Yeah, cool, nice. My second one, as I mentioned, is also a movie. I don't think it'll be any surprise to you what the movie is, and it doesn't need a plug from me, but I want to talk about it because I love it so much. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Just an amazing movie. Again, there's not too much I can say about it without giving away the plot, which they've been very hush-hush about. But, you know, the basic thing is that Miles Morales finds out that there's an entire community of Spider-Men working together to protect all the multiverses. And it's funny, like, every movie, the MCU were trying to do the multiverse, and they have not done it very effectively yet. Every movie outside the MCU has tried to do it, has done it way more effectively. That being Spider-Verse and Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's just so much more effectively. But like, Spider-Verse is just killing it. It does such a good job of being like, it's very fast paced and they're throwing so much information at you. And it's very sci-fi and superhero comic book like nerdy stuff in it. But it also still takes time to like make sure that you love these characters and you're rooting for them. You want to see them do well and you're concerned about them. They really develop Miles' relationship with his mom beautifully in this movie. He didn't have a lot to do in into the Spider-Verse. So that was all done really well. It's just a beautifully, gorgeously animated movie. You can tell there's so much heart and love into every single frame. There's no point where it looks like they got lazy or they're cheating or they took the easiest route or the cheapest route. There's clearly so much heart and love and money put into this movie. And it's well worth your time. It's 2.5 hours long, and same as, like I said, Bobo Was Afraid. That's a great thing that Roger Ebert used to say, this great New York critic who died quite a while ago now. He said, a bad movie can't be short enough, and a great movie can't be too long. Mm. You know, and that's the thing I feel about Bobo Was Afraid and Spider-Verse. I didn't want either of those movies to end. I was happy just to stay there.
Yeah.
And again, because of the characters, even more so than the story, because that's everything. If you like the characters, you're more willing to stick with it than if the story is good, but you don't really care about the person in the story. You know what I mean?
Roger Ebert's the famous four like out of four rating system.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I always found strange. Yeah, he rates out of fours. I guess it's like, I don't know what the method is there. Maybe he thinks no movie is worthy of 5 out of 5 or something. But yeah, the most he ever gave a movie was four out of four. Yeah, exactly. And two thumbs up also is what he'd do. Maybe you'd get no thumbs up. One thumbs up was meant it was okay, or two thumbs up was mean definitely go see it. Yeah. It was just a wonderful movie. And I can't wait for part 2 next year. I'm sure I missed the podcast before. I absolutely love Spider-Man. I think this series is managed to do new things with Spider-Man. Obviously with Miles Morales not, you know, being very different than Peter Parker, and us seeing all these different versions of Spider-Man. It's just expanding on this universe and these characters and all these weird lores in the comic books in a really cool way. It also makes it really digestible for people who might not be as familiar with the lore of Spider-Man than people like me would be. Just a great movie. Nice. Yeah, both of them I think are well worth people's time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, was that it for you?
I have one more.
Okay, cool.
It's a trilogy of films.
Okay.
It got me thinking, because of the new Spider-Verse film out, it got me thinking about the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans.
Of course.
It got me thinking about Evil Dead. And yes. Evil Dead is...
We've spoken about it a bit in podcasts before, yeah.
Yeah, Evil Dead 1 and 2 are my favourite horror films ever.
Okay.
I rate horror films like... I have my favourite classic one and then my favourite new one.
Okay.
But Evil Dead 1 and 2, have you seen them?
I've only seen the first one. I want to see the rest.
Both my favourite classic horror films.
Mm.
And they're just brilliant because they're like... such morbid humor where sometimes you're like, should I be laughing or terrified right now?
Yeah, totally.
Which is what Sam Raimi
so
does
dark.
So well. He's such a creative, and
definitely
some of the best practical effects I've ever seen in a horror film as well.
Mm.
For the time it was made, it's just way ahead of its time.
Yes,
it hits every single trope you want from a classic horror.
Mm.
So that would be my recommendation: Evil Dead 1 and 2, free at your own risk.
I feel like I haven't seen it. I feel like Army of Darkness would be my favourite one. It's clearly
not a horror film.
It's clearly the goofiest, the most comedic one. I think I'd enjoy it. I love Ash as a character, and I think Bruce Campbell is fantastic. So yeah, I'll definitely get them eventually. I'm looking forward to them. There's a few, but Aaron Sam Raimi, isn't there? There's like, they did a remake. There's a new one this year?
Yeah.
Evil Dead Rise? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was also Ash, the TV show. Yeah. Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Which was good fun.
We saw that as well? Yeah. I must get to all of those.
But, Evil Dead 1 and 2 are just phenomenal.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So that to you was
the perfect horror film.
Hit its peak. Well, what are your favorite, like, newer ones then?
The Witch.
Oh, of course, yeah. Robert Eggers, yeah.
I don't know, but The Witch is definitely one of my favorites.
Okay, yeah, that's up there. I mean, I've heard you praise that a lot, so I'm not surprised to hear that. That's cool. There's also currently rumors that Sam Raimi might be directing the next Avengers movies,
Jesus,
I'm down for.
Yeah, it made me want to watch them.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great director. I didn't love Doctor Strange: The Multiverse of Madness, but that was the script's fault. His directing in the film was fantastic. You know, he did an amazing job directing it. And also, him doing an Avengers movie would make me think maybe Tobey Maguire might be in it, which makes me excited. I'm hopeful to see what he can do with it. But yeah, guys, I think that's all the things I've had to say today. I want to thank you all for listening to us. And I'm actually going to get really emotional here
now.
Yeah,
it sounds like you are.
No, I'm not. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll catch you really soon. And just keep being sexy.
Best of luck with everything.
Yeah. And take your shirt off. Bye.